We've been working our way through a series that Pastor Steve has titled Living Worship. So this morning, while he's out on assignment, I want to go ahead and continue in that direction that he has started. And I want to share a message with you this morning that I have titled Walking in a Spirit of Living Worship. But before we dive into what God has prepared for us, I want to ask him to come and bless this before I share it with you. Would you bow your head with me just for a moment? Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you, Father, for being here with us, Lord. We give everything over to you in the name of Jesus. You are the Lord of lords. You are the King of kings. You're our Lord and our King. And Father, we come here not to play church. We don't come here to glorify each other, but we come here to lift you up this morning. We give you praise, honor, glory. We magnify the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you just for simply giving us an opportunity to worship you. So we ask now, Lord, that you will just come and take charge of everything that is done here. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Over in the book of Acts, we are told that just before Jesus ascended to go back to heaven to be with the Father, that he said to his disciples over in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, he said, do not leave Jerusalem. He said, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. He said, for John baptized with water, but in a few days, Jesus said to them, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then when Jesus finished saying that right there before their eyes, he ascended to go back to heaven to be with the fathers and the disciples. They went back to Jerusalem to wait for the gift that Jesus said the Father was going to send them. Well, 10 days after Jesus left, these guys are up there in this upper room, and the Holy Spirit came into that room where those men were staying, and he baptized them with fire, just like Jesus said he would do. Look right here for just a minute. And at that moment, everything in their life changed. At that moment, even who they were changed. Those men began to feel a new sense of power and a new sense of confidence that was within them that they had never felt before. Everything that Jesus had taught them began to make sense. Everything that they saw began to make sense. You see, there was no more denying what they knew. There was no more denying what they had seen when they were with Jesus. When those men stepped out of that upper room, they were no longer just disciples who were learning about Jesus. Those men were now apostles, filled with the Holy Spirit of God and empowered from on high. And for the first time in their life, they understood the purpose that God had for their life. You see, that's what happens when the Holy Spirit baptizes you. Man, things in your life, they begin to change. You begin to understand things like you've never understood them before. You begin to see things in a light that is different than any light you've ever seen them in before. You see, you begin to feel that the power of the Holy Spirit moving within you like you have never felt before. You see, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is one of the ways that God begins to prepare our heart to live a life of living worship. Do you understand that? Watch this. Over in when the apostles left this upper room where they were staying and they went down into Jerusalem, Peter began to preach to the people that had come into Jerusalem to celebrate Passover, and he began to share with them about Jesus, and those that heard his message received salvation. And in Acts 2:43, here's what it says. It says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. Now, Luke doesn't tell us what those miraculous signs and wonders were, but over in Acts chapter 3, we can see at least one of them, and here's where I'm going to take the meat of our message from this morning. And if you have your Bible with you, you want to go with me over to the book of Acts, I'm going to be Reading from the New International Version, I invite you to follow along in whatever translation you have. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, we're told, it says, "One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon." Verse 2, it says, "Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day," look what it says, "to beg." He was put there every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Luke is describing for us here a picture of human tragedy. You see, verse 1 tells us that this man has been crippled from birth, which tells us that he didn't know what it was like, man, to run and to play with other kids when he was growing up. He never climbed a tree. He never kicked a ball. You see, he was never able to stand up or to walk or to run like people like you and I take for granted every day. And I can assure you that he was probably not married because he couldn't provide for a family. So throughout his life, this man's entire life, people looked at him as being different because he couldn't do the things that you and I can do. He couldn't do the things that we take for granted every day. And here he is once again being carried to the temple gate so that he can beg for a living. Let me tell you something else. The Bible doesn't share with us what kind of effect this infirmity may have had on his heart, but I know this, that man could have very easily become angry at God. Because you see, there was never a day in his life when he wasn't a burden to someone. And today, it's no different. He's being carried over the temple gates so he can ask people for money just so he can eat. Verses 3 through 5 continue on to say this. "When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said to him, 'Look at us.' So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them." You see, this man had no idea who he was talking to or what was about to happen in his life. You see, he thought Peter and John, he thought they were just a couple of guys that was going into the temple at 3 o'clock to pray like everybody else. And so he thought he'd just go ahead and just hit them up for some money. And so when Peter said, "Look at us," I can assure you this guy perked up and gave them his full undivided attention because, you see, he was expecting to get something from them. And I want to make a point right here. It's the same way with God. You see, if you really want God to pour himself into you, if you really want God to pour himself into your life and help you understand, help you live that life of a living worship, if that's what you really want for your life, then you have to give God your undivided attention. You have to be willing to open yourself up, open up your eyes, and give God all that you are if you want God to give himself, give to you all that he is. Let me tell you something. You cannot live a life of living worship without giving God your all. You can't do it. And that doesn't mean you have to walk around 24 hours a day praying. It doesn't mean you walk around 24 hours a day singing praise songs with your hands in the air. But it does mean that your heart's got to be open to the voice of God so that if he calls upon you, you're willing to respond to what he says to you. You understand? Praise God. I want to make that point because, you know, there are people all over this world, guys, that have been going to church all of their life, and they say that they're saved. But when you look at them, you can't see much different than the day they first started going to church. I mean, you know, you just can't see that. And you know why that is? I think it's because they never really expected to see God, even when they got into church. Did you hear me? They go to church and they don't expect to see God. And so they don't open their heart up to God. They're not receptive to the voice of God. So they've never really given God their undivided attention. They simply go to church because that's what they've always done. You see, that's what their mama and their daddy done. That's what Grandma and Grandpa always said, is when Sunday comes around, you go to church. So that's what they do on Sunday. They go to church. But listen to me. Look right here. When they get there, they put their mind on cruise control. And they walk into the church, and they start thinking about all the things they got to do outside the church after service is over. Y'all know what I'm talking about. People do that. And they walk out the same way they walked in. Unchanged. Nothing happened. The bottom line is simply this. Look right here. If you have come here this morning because you want to see the power of God working in your life, He will reveal Himself to you. If that's why you came, if you came here seeking God, God will reveal Himself to you. But you have to be willing to give Him your undivided attention. And you have to be willing to open up your heart so that He can have His way in your life. That's God. Verse 6 goes on to tell us that after Peter got this man's attention, Peter said to him, he said, "Silver and gold," he said, "I do not have." He said, "But what I have," he said, "I give you." He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth," he said, "walk." And then verse 7 says, taking him by the right hand, it says he helped him up, and instantly, not go home and pray about it, not take it to the pastor. He said, when Peter reached down and grabbed this man's hand, it says instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. I'm impressed that he said ankles. You know, that just blows me away. That his feet and ankles became strong. Look what it says. He jumped to his feet. He didn't just stand up. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. And then he went into the temple courts walking and jumping and praising God. You see? God is awesome. God is just awesome. You see, Peter and John, guys, they exemplified a life of living worship. That's who they were. It's not what they did. That's who they were. So when they reached down and grabbed that man by his right hand, the power of God that was living within them went through that man like a bolt of lightning, and it changed his life forever. The man would never, ever be the same. Again, all of a sudden, this man who has never walked a day in his life, he stood up, started walking around, jumping up and down, praising God. No longer would he be just a crippled beggar sitting over here asking people for money just so that he could eat. No longer would he be a ridicule among the people. And no longer would he have to be a burden for people to carry him, because God gave him back his life. God gave this man back his life. I want to tell you something. That's what God does. That's what God does when we honor Him and when we show Him that we love Him unconditionally. God will give you back your life. Wow. Let me tell you something. When this world has taken everything from you, and there's not a person sitting in here that can't identify with what I just said. When this world has taken everything that matters or everything that's important or the things that you just don't want to get released, when they've taken those things from you, God will give it back to you if you let Him. You see, Jesus said in John 10:10, look at this. He said, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, but I have come that you may have life and have it to the full, have it more abundantly. I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. You see, Jesus wants you to have it all. He doesn't want to withhold anything from you. Before I move on here, I want to go back to something that I just kind of skimmed over there real quick. Back in verses 5 and 6, after Peter got this man's attention and told this man to look at him, it says here in verses 5 and 6, it says, the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. And Peter said, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, he said, walk. After Peter got this man's attention, Peter did two things. First of all, he admitted to this man that he didn't have anything. He wasn't ashamed. He just simply said, "Man, I don't have it." He admitted to him that he doesn't have any money. But then Peter went on to say to him, "But what I have, I do give you." He said, "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the man stood up. You see, Peter couldn't give to him what he didn't have. But Peter could give him what he had living inside of him. Do you understand that? Peter could pass on to this man what he had living inside of him. And you see, that's how it is with me. Look right here just for a minute. If you're not living a spirit-filled, empowered life of living worship, then you can't pass on to someone else an empowered, spirit-filled life of living worship. Because you see, you can't give to someone what you don't have. Do you understand? I read a story about a man by the name of Thomas Aquinas. He went to visit the Pope. And it says, when he entered into the room, the Pope was counting a large sum of money. And the Pope said to Thomas, he said, "The church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold I do not have.'" And Aquinas said to the Pope, he said, "That is true, Your Holiness." He said, "But neither can it now say, 'Arise and walk.'" You see, Peter and John, they didn't have gold, money, material things. But they did have the power of God living within them. And that's what the church needs to rediscover today. The universal church out here, God's church, we need to understand, we need to rediscover the power of the living God. We need to rediscover the power to touch people's lives with the presence of God. We need to understand the power, or rediscover the power, to reach out to people and lift them up out of their brokenness and out of their hurt. We need to be able to speak life into the people. You see, that's what God's looking for within the walls of His church. That's what God's looking for with you and with me. And it all begins with an act of living worship. In verses 9 and 10, Luke went on to say, it says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, when all the people saw this man walking around, they recognized him as the man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. You see, when the crowds saw what had happened to this crippled man, they came over to where he was to see if it was really true. And when they saw that it was, it says in verse 10 that they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. This miracle, it had a twofold effect on the people. First of all, they became convinced that God was among them, at work among them. And second of all, it got their attention so they would be prepared for what Peter was about to say. So right there in the midst of them, Peter told them that they had been blind to what God had done in the world. He told them of how God had sent His Son into this world to save them, but that they had failed to recognize Him. In verse 14, Peter said, "You disowned the Holy and Righteous One." Peter told them, he said, "You missed seeing the greatest miracle in the world." He said, "You missed seeing Jesus when He was standing right in front of you." And you know, that may sound a little absurd, but I want to tell you something. The world is full of people this morning that that will go home, they'll leave church without seeing Jesus when He's standing right there in front of them. How did they miss Him? They weren't looking for Him. Let me ask you something. Look right here. Why did you come here this morning? here to see Jesus this morning? I mean, really, did you come here this morning to see Jesus? Because if you did, he said in Jeremiah 29:13, he said, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. Let me give you Rocky's paraphrase to that. If you want to see Jesus, you got to be looking for Jesus. This message starts to close down here in verses 9 through 12, saying this. It says, when all the people saw him walking around praising God, this man who was crippled, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit at the temple gate called Beautiful and were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. And it said in verse 11, while the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to them, men of Israel, why does this surprise you? He said, why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? You see, the people in the temple were so amazed to see this crippled man walking and jumping and praising God that they ran over to Peter and John to give them praise as if they had performed this miracle under their own power. But Peter said to them in verse 12, he said, why do you stare at us as if it's by our own power that we made this man walk? You see, Peter told him that he and John were not the source of the healing, but that it had come through the power of God that working within them that healed this man. I believe that's what God wants from you and from me. You see, I believe that God wants you to perform miracles. I believe that. I believe that God wants you to be able to touch people and heal them in Jesus' name. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe that's what God wants from each and every one of us. I believe God wants you to be able to change a person's life. I believe God wants you to be able to speak life into someone's life and lift them up out of circumstances where they have fallen into things. I believe God wants you to teach people how to live a life of living worship. That's what I believe. Let me tie all this together for you. There are a whole lot of people in this world who truly want to live a life of just living worship. But no matter how hard they try, it seems like something is always pulling them back. It seems like something is always pulling them down. I'd venture to say that some of those people are sitting right here in this church this morning. Outwardly, you may be appearing to be okay. And everyone around you may think you're fine. Look right here. Look at me for just a minute. But deep down inside yourself, you're struggling. You see, you may be overextended financially, and so while your spouse is laying over there asleep at night, you're laying in the bed looking at the ceiling with tears running down your face because you don't know how you're going to pay your bills. You see, some of you are sick, and the doctor just can't put his finger on it, and it just doesn't seem to get any better. Maybe you're struggling with something that has happened in your family. Maybe your marriage has fallen apart. Maybe your job is just hanging by a thread. Or maybe you've lost all of the direction for your life and you don't know how to go on. Or maybe you feel guilty or depressed about something that has happened in your life and you don't know how to let go of it. You know, I don't know what's going on in your life. But I know this, we've all been hurt, we've all been used, we've all failed, we all need healing, we all need Jesus, and we all need a touch from God in one way or another, every single one of us. So if you came here this morning, if you came here this morning looking for Jesus, so that you can ask him to help you get beyond where you are. If you came here to ask him to remove those things in your life that is keeping you from living a life of just total living worship, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you that he's here. And I want to tell you that I believe with all my heart that he's going to do something here this morning for someone. I don't know who you are. Look right here. It's really important. I don't know who you are. But you got something going on in your life that you can't deal with because it's bigger than you are. And I say that to you because God laid that on my heart 2 days ago. And he knows who you are, and you know who you are. And I know this, I know that God's going to do something this morning. God's going to fix something this morning if you'll let him. But you see, you have to be willing to let him do what he does in order to fix that. Maybe you simply need to be baptized with the Holy Spirit of God so that you can have the power of God living within you to start living that kind of worship. Whatever your need is, I believe God can give it back to you. So I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand up right where you are. If you're able to stand, just stand with me. If you're not, then that's okay.